Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of Not in a Creepy Way, the podcast where the brothers Anderson will dig deep into the movies. The brothers Anderson are. This is Eric, he's the oldest one. The producer who makes it fun, gotta give him the credit. He's good with the edits. He's been the driving force since they begun. Next we got brother Jay. He just the movies that they play. The sip in the middle, Jay is gonna be a little more critical, analytical when he communicates. And lastly we got Drew, the finally family member of this group. He decides if the movie's worth it. Right kind of guy, that's for certain. Three chatty brothers with a family base. Need an excuse to talk away. Dichotomy of personalities. All you really need to do is press play. One podcast talk show. Hit the app if you want to catch an episode. They talk movies till they go off on a tangent flow and maybe ramble. That's the brothers Anderson. So sit back with closed eyes, let them take you away. Unless you're driving, keep them open to that case. We got Eric, Drew, and brother Jay. Welcome you to Not in a Creepy Way.
Not in a Creepy Way.
Welcome, this is Eric.
This is brother Jay.
And tonight we're going to talk about the 2019 film I Am Mother, directed by Grant Sputore. That's going to be as close as I can do. This, I think this is the only movie he's directed. But
Fragile!
But this was your pick, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And this is a brand new movie to us both, right?
Yes, correct.
And what's your initial thought on I Am Mother, a sci-fi movie?
So I liked it. It is not. It's not a feel-good movie, though.
It's got tension in it, and it's, I think I described to you in a text as it was an unexpected thinker for me.
It's like Terminator meets The Road.
Kind of, but I thought about this movie way too much after watching it.
Because it's funny that you say that, because after I watched it, I wrote 3-4 pages of notes that I was like, I just had to get out of my head.
Oh, excellent.
So, because it's about a 2-hour movie, but it clipped along. I mean, first time I saw it, I've only seen it the one time.
Yeah, yeah.
But it moved and it was captivating and it kept going. And I liked it because I wasn't able to guess where it was going. When I guessed, I was wrong, and that was really satisfying. I love when movies get me.
Yeah,
like that.
We call those successful scripts. Isn't that great?
Yeah, and I didn't hate the story, and I didn't hate the characters. Although it's a very small movie.
Oh yeah, no, there's only basically two characters and two actors in the whole movie, except for a voice actor, because the third. The titular character is a robot voiced by Rose Byrne.
And I give credit to the actress who played Daughter. I don't know.
Her name is Clara Rugard.
Because she was playing against a robot.
She was great.
I thought so, too. I thought so, too. I'm not a big Hilary Swank fan.
Me either.
So,
but she was fine.
Anytime I see her, I just want something bad to happen to her on screen, and I know that's something broken inside me. But
From her history, every time you see her on screen in a good movie, something bad does happen to her. Well, I mean, think of a really good Hilary Swank movie where something bad does not happen to her.
Here's the thing: I couldn't name a Hilary Swank movie.
Well, there's Boys Don't Cry, and there's Million Dollar Baby.
Okay.
Yeah. Bad things happen to them, both of those characters.
Okay.
Yeah.
I watched it. I watched it in one sitting. I watched it all at once. It kept my attention, which is good. So you're right. It was a thinker of a movie, but it was the thinker after it was over because
exactly. There's
so many questions that I had a lot of questions going into it, and I was writing down notes like, this doesn't make sense. And then it was all answered in a way that I was like, oh, I didn't even catch that.
That's the thing, is that as you're watching the movie, you're fed a lot of little details, and some of them don't make sense. Some of them are just like, they trigger like, okay, hold on, I got to do math. Never mind, I'll skip that one. It'll be explained later, right? And then at the end of it, so it's sort of like a Sixth Sense experience, except without the big twist, but that you're like, oh, hold on. This explains everything. And the film never lied to us at any point.
No.
Like, there was misdirection in the some motivations. And of course, there's a whole thing about what's really going on outside. But everything is really straightforward.
Yeah, there's no, I think, again, of course, we're going to spoil the movie.
Yeah, so this movie is available on Netflix, I believe, Netflix in the U.S. So yeah. If you have a chance, stream it on Netflix and watch it. It's good. It's a good movie. It's
yeah, go watch it now. Yeah. It's amazing. It's well worth it. It's well worth the investment of no money and your 2 hours worth of time.
Yeah, because we're going to spoil it.
And I'm actually kind of in the next week or so, I think I'm going to go back and watch it again.
I think so, too.
I think that I've missed a great deal because I was, I think my problem was I was trying to figure it out. And then when the first time it got me, I'm like, okay, I need to stop. I just need to go with this movie, which is fine. I think that's a mark of a good movie is that I throw in the towel and then just give myself to the movie.
Exactly. Yeah. Cause at first I was looking for clues too. And I was also looking at homages. Like, oh, this is referencing this movie, and this is referencing this movie, that sort of thing. Like the origami. Like the origami is clearly Blade Runner reference.
Well, there was lots of little things, though, because this is also has a very Terminator kind of appeal to it, too. Yeah.
And 2001?
Yeah. The end of the world, and, you know, like I said, the road meets the Terminator meets... I mean, there's so much going on that... It was good. I mean, it really got me. So I really appreciated that. But also it was just such a small set.
Yeah.
I mean, it was just this tiny, tiny little universe and it did so well. I can't imagine. I imagine this was a straight to Netflix thing, which is a shame because I think it would have done good in the theaters.
Oh yeah.
The theaters.
I remember those. Yeah.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, again, this, I think a lot of, we've talked before about how often a small set or a small central location of a movie with a small set of characters really helps storytelling. Yes. And again, this is a movie. This is not a series. If this were to be a series, you'd have to have more characters. But it's not. I mean,
maybe.
I guess depending on how they did it. So, anyway, shall we dive in?
Yeah.
So, in the near future, an extinction event happens on Earth, and there's an underground bunker that's activated. And this is all kind of, it's on-screen titles that are telling you some of these things, and it's also kind of narrated by this robot called Mother. So, the idea is this underground bunker is activated. There are, in this underground bunker, 63 million embryos? And at the time this movie starts, there are zero humans. And then it shows Mother taking an embryo out and putting it in this weird computer incubator thing. And then it shows Mother kind of like tending to the child. And again, Mother is a robot that's sort of like almost like a Rosie the Robot kind of design, you know?
The electric grandmother.
Yeah. So it was, you know, human-esque. Like, you know, it's like bipedal and stuff, but it's not supposed to look like a human.
No, it is only, I think, in minor ways, has human-ish traits, just so that you are, at least I projected, that it had two little LEDs that would spin around its face to give it an expression.
Yeah.
And a Cyclops eye.
2001.
Yeah, exactly. It wasn't red though. But that was the only expression the robot gave, but it gave it a humanoid expression ability. So it made it somewhat believable that it wouldn't scare the crap out of a child. Of course, again, if the child, I guess, if some unborn child's never seen it and then now sees it,
it's supposed to mimic some kind of, you know, some kind of the best way to raise a child as a robot thing. It's trying to mimic a lot of human things.
Some type of bonding.
Yeah, like, and it, like, you know, it reads to the child and it kind of swaddles the child and everything. So we see this child grow to teenagehood, and then we get because again, the movie starts with, you know, days after extinction event one, embryos 63 million, human zero, whatever. And then when the next time you meet, next time we go for a time, it says it is 13,867 days since the extinction event.
And which I immediately pulled out my calculator.
Oh, really? Because I was thinking, doing the math, I'm like, this math doesn't make sense.
It was like 37 something years.
Yeah, almost 38 years. But you meet a teenager named Daughter, played by Clara Rugard, who, like I said, is great. And she's living with Mother in the bunker, and she's the only human. And there's a bunch of interaction. She's
the only thing.
Well, yeah, and there's a bunch of interaction as far as asking Mother why she's the only person. And Mother explains that she has to learn how to be a good mother. And then as the story goes on, it explains, the daughter learns more about the whole system. But the daughter is basically given all this training. A lot of ethics and morality training. And there's this exam that's looming. So, and we see, you know, Mother trying to give Daughter, some sort of nurturing and, you know, normality as a child, as much as you could in living in a bunker with no other people.
Yeah, the best android that isn't a person in a fallout bunker.
Yeah, and like the android teaches her how to, but again, I don't even want to call it an android because it's more like just a robot. I mean, it's not, doesn't have a lot of those, I don't know. I guess we could quibble about that. But yeah, so
it was able to express an attempt at emoting.
Oh yeah, and it's got hands and stuff, so it taught her how to do origami. And that's why she is really good at origami, because there's not a lot of other toys around. But
and it was a very attenuated, because it had light touch versus hard touch.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, so, I guess Android is probably a better example.
Super sophisticated.
Yeah.
And, of course, seemingly super intelligent, right?
Yeah. And so, you know, there's this whole thing where she's preparing for the exam, but she's starting to ask questions because she's a teenager. And then there's a power outage. And the daughter goes, and power outage affects Mother, so Mother shuts down, so the daughter grabs a chemical light or something, or a flashlight, and goes looking for to flip the breakers or whatever, and finds a mouse. And again, it becomes clear that she doesn't quite understand. She's been given a story about what happened outside, like maybe a virus or something,
or something hazardous.
Yeah, something that makes it inhospitable to, can't say the word, inhospitable to life. But suddenly she finds a mouse and traps it. And this is all very exciting. So she traps it in a water bottle, which is kind of fun. And then,
did you not feel that was a comparison to her situation?
A little bit. Yeah.
Yeah.
I wasn't looking as deeply at those kind of things at this point in the movie, but
I was looking at everything.
Yeah. Well, And of course, now that we're talking about it and having already edited the Wolfwalker episode that's going to be released tomorrow, I'm reminded of Drew's relationship with rodents. So she had a different reaction. She was much more excited than Drew would have been.
The result was much more exciting than I think Drew's is going to be.
Well, yeah.
Well, that I guess that's perspective.
Mother takes the Drew approach to it.
That's true.
So, Mother is,
dispassionate.
Yeah. Well, of course. And also this is a disease vector. So this whole compound is meant to protect you. So we are not going to let this mouse disease us or you. So it goes into the incinerator. Because, of course, a very, low-tech, dark thing, an incinerator.
Yet traditionally, when we see incinerators in history, it's never for a good purpose.
Yeah. So daughter's a little bummed that she doesn't have a new mouse friend. Instead, she lost a water bottle.
I think she's been raised her whole life that, you know, she's the only life form, that she's the only human that's left. And so life is precious. She's being raised that that life is precious. And they kill the first thing that she comes into contact with. It's alive. It's also, not her.
Also, if it's alive and it came from outside, then maybe the other things are alive outside and she's safe to go out.
But mother said she didn't think it came from outside.
Exactly. But how would you? I don't know. Anyway. So, daughter, of course, thinks that the mouse means there's life outside the bunker. Mother says nope. And so the daughter begins investigating. So the daughter sneaks around and ends up donning a hazmat suit and poking around the facility's airlock. And it's really clever the way they do these things because, you know, I guess daughter is supposed to be our entry character to the story. But since we don't know much more than daughter does, it's great because you're like, daughter doesn't know what to believe. We don't know what to believe. And so the story just takes us, which I thought was pretty great.
Yeah.
But yeah, so she hears someone on the other side of the airlock door pounding to be let in because they're wounded.
The outer airlock door. Yeah. She's open the inner airlock door.
Yes. And so she hears this woman. By the way, the characters have no name. Just woman is Hilary Swank. Daughter is Clara Rugard. And mother is Rose Byrne, the voice of mother. So daughter opens a lock and gets the woman to put on a hazmat suit. The woman is injured, has some sort of what we've learned is a gunshot wound in her abdomen. And, of course, mom. Mother is never a mom. Mother is mother. So, yeah, not quite a Norman Bates mother, but, eh. So, well, anyway, so, sorry. So a woman gets inside and, the mother, finds, you know, hears the alarms or whatever of the airlock opening. So, runs literally to check out what's going on and daughter, and hides woman from mother. And of course, mother tells daughter that she's got to do this exam that she's doing to progress to the next level of whatever. And so that's why, that's the ongoing thing is now daughter has a secret from mother, which is a source of tension. And so, daughter ends up heading back to the airlock to find the woman asleep. And she finds a gun in her bag and takes it and then gives the woman water. And woman has to take her mask off to drink it. So daughter realizes that there must not be contamination outside the bunker. But while the daughter is going to get medical supplies, woman sees mother and reaches for her gun, but finds that it's missing. And when the daughter returns, the woman demands the gun, saying that mother is just like her friends outside. And a woman shoots at mother, but is quickly overpowered and taken to the infirmary where the woman refuses mother's medical aid. Now, this is a plot synopsis by IMDb, which yada yada is a lot of tension. But yeah, so woman does not trust mother because mother is one of the evil robots like the ones outside that.
And by the way, that robot can move.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Woman is quite injured. So they take her to the infirmary, but she doesn't want to be treated. And of course, mother's saying, well, if she wants treatment, she'll comply. And if she doesn't comply and she doesn't get treatment, well, that's on her. And daughter's like,
Yeah, she doesn't get treatment and she doesn't want treated, she'll die. And that's, then problem solved.
Yeah.
A self-cleaning oven.
Exactly. It's a Jasonism we love. So, and then at this point, daughter confronts mother about this, the toxicity levels outside, and mother admits that she lied to keep daughter safe, and isn't like the robots who attacked the woman. And mother tells the daughter that they can help any survivors, but they need woman to cooperate, because they have to get the survivors into the bunker. Now, here's there's the tension builds because, of course, mother or a woman thinks mother is just a horrible robot like the rest of them outside, and thinks that mother is just trying to trick her into divulging where all the humans are. And also wants daughter to realize that mother has been lying the whole time and is not trustworthy. So the woman's conditions worsen, and mother says she'll need surgery. So the woman refuses to let mother operate, so daughter volunteers to operate. Luckily, she's had lots of training classes. So mother guides her through the surgery, which is tough but successful. And after the surgery...
Daughter's had quite the education.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, she's had a lot of... I mean, I guess you don't have a whole lot else to do. Although, I was tickled to death that she's watching Johnny Carson reruns.
Yes. I thought that was going to play a bigger role, but what it just serves to do is make this kind of timeless.
Yes.
So.
Yeah, because you don't know when it is.
Oh, yeah. And it doesn't matter when it is because everything has changed.
Yes.
Because of an extinction event. Maybe. So, after surgery, woman is kinder to daughter, and that the woman confesses she was on a food run with her brother when the robots attacked. Her brother distracted them, and she got away, never making it back to the mines where her people live. By the way, one of the things in Woman's Pack is this science fiction book that presumably Woman has drawn sketches of people in. And, of course, daughter has never seen people, so she finds the sketches and all that captivating. And kind of invents backstories about who the people might be. So, or at least has questions about who the people might be. Anyway. So woman basically convinces daughter that maybe robots are bad, and since mother is a robot, maybe mother is bad, and mother's been lying. And so the daughter's like, maybe, you know, you get the impression that, yeah, so daughter has doubts about mother. But then, when a woman is trying to tell daughter that she should escape, mother interrupts and tells her daughter to go take her exam, and also confiscates the woman's bag. And when daughter asks why, mother says that the bullet they pulled from woman matches the one she fired at mother with the gun she brought in, which is not a gun that robots use. So she was shot out by another human. And therefore, she is dangerous, and maybe the humans outside are dangerous. So at this point, daughter's like, oh, well, maybe woman has been lying to us all along. Curious. Curiouser and curiouser. So mother completes the exam, and she passes. And so, daughter completes the exam and passes. So mother allows daughter to select a new embryo to add to their family. A little brother. And after that scene, which is, again, very touching, because she's adding to the family, now she has a brother, she will. So daughter confronts a woman about lying, but woman says, hey, did you see the bullets with your own eyes? Are you just relying on what mother told you about the bullets not matching? And
well, and early in the movie, early on, you know, all she ever talks about is wanting a family, and the mother keeps instilling that, you know, someday we will have a big family. Wouldn't you like a big family? So there's this constant dynamic of mother kind of putting that dangling that in front of her as, and I know you're alone right now with me, but soon that won't be the case. We'll have a big family. So that's always kind of, you know, the carrot dangling.
Yeah. And maybe why she should study and stuff. Yeah. Because she'll have to be responsible for this big family.
Pretty good motivation.
Oh, yeah. 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 Well, the only motivation.
A lot of pressure.
Yeah. So, so woman says, when daughter says, hey, mother says that you got shot by the human. And woman's like, sure. But did you see this with your own eyes? Or are you just believing the robot's word for it? And so daughter's like, so the daughter has to go and do her own little sleuthing and discover that, yeah, the bullets don't match. And then she goes through more records and learns that mother has raised other children besides her.
Well, at this point, that was obvious, though.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, because you've seen that there were, what, three female embryos that were missing from the little container?
Well, before that, though, if you didn't realize, on all our exam scores, the tablet was like whatever the prefix was, 03.
03, yes, exactly.
So the first time I saw that, I'm like, that's interesting. The second time, I'm like, she's the third. And because that's, exactly, for me, when it clicked that, like, that's how it makes her not be old enough to be 37 years
old. Exactly, yes.
And so I was like, that was a nice little sleight of hand that, you know. I think that, see, the little things in this movie that were nuanced, that were little details, but had a huge payoff, that kind of stuff I really appreciate.
Because then she looks for the other children and she finds the files for the O2. And the O2 failed her exams at some point and had to be aborted. So daughter goes to the incinerator.
Yeah, again, sinister.
Yeah. And finds teeth. Or a jawbone with teeth in it. So, So, daughter then, well, you have questions about whether that would really happen?
I have.
Oh, sorry.
We'll discuss it again. I have much, like, we haven't even scratched the surface of what I have.
But, excellent. Okay. All right. Because, again, this right now we're probably about, two-thirds of the way through the movie, half the way through the movie, because there's not a ton that happens after this, although everything escalates, and so there's a ton of revelation we have. But,
very quickly it escalates.
Yes. So now daughter returns to woman and says, yeah, I believe you. And the woman says, okay, we need to go back to the mine. But the daughter needs to wait until her new brother is done gestating at the end of the day, because there's just so...
Well, she doesn't need to. She refuses to leave without her brother.
She's taking her brother with her, yes.
Right.
And they need to stay one more night. But mother has been eavesdropping on the escape plan, locks her in a room, and then goes to woman demanding the location of the mines. So daughter breaks out, cleverly, and sets off alarms, and... in the melee, the woman is also able to escape and has improvised a knife out of a piece of the bed or molding or something.
Something.
Yeah. And so she holds this improvised knife to daughter's throat and forces the mother to open the airlock. So basically now the daughter has been taken hostage by a woman and they're leaving without the daughter's will consent and certainly without the brother. And they leave and, they avoid some robots and it's all very bleak and post-apocalyptic and whatever. The robots that they encounter, are planting crops and purifying the air. So even though a lot of this looks desolate, so they're trying to regrow something.
Corn.
Yeah, lots of it. And so this kind of puts a lie to the fact that the Earth is uninhabitable, right? But then they reach woman's home, which is not the mines. It's the coast. And it's
And
she lives in a shipping container, yeah.
Yeah.
And it's great in like the desolate scenes they have.
And she's eating dog food.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. She's by herself. There is no other bunch of people. And she's in the Connex, has all of her art material that she draws pictures and stuff. But yeah, all this stuff about the tunnels, they had fled the tunnels years ago and she's been living alone for a long time and she just wants a friend. So the daughter still wants to find these tunnels with other people in them. And the woman said, yeah, they're all crazy. There's no people worth searching out there. And so the daughter is like, oh, I have made a huge mistake. I have a crazy person living in a Connex. This is not the escape dream even I had thought before I was taken hostage. So daughter runs away and wants to go back to the compound. But she's like, no. So now as daughter goes back, she encounters a fleet of military-looking robots.
And, very serious.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. But they let her pass, and she enters the compound.
Well, she demands.
Well, yes. And she grabs an axe, which is kind of fun, and goes to find Mother and her brother. Because she said nothing else, she's going to rescue her brother. So this is when Mother starts to explain the facts of life. That she was created to protect humanity. But when she saw that the human race was destroying itself, she thought, well, what better way to protect them than to just hit the reset button? So Mother had engineered the extinction event and killed all of the people.
Not as much an extinction event as an extermination event.
Yeah, exactly. And also, they're now they're creating a world where the humans would flourish in. But it's going to be a cleaner, nicer world. And they're raising humans who are ethical. Sort of paradoxically, I guess.
Yeah, well, and they can grow a fetus in 24 hours.
Yeah, yeah, and they have 63 million of them. So,
yeah.
So,
Seemingly, supposedly, from the looks of their little thing, they can pop out multiple babies in a night.
Oh, yeah. Mother lets daughter in to hold her brother, and the daughter attempts to flee, but Mother chases her, and the daughter aims a gun at her. But at this point, Mother's got one little card up her sleeve. She's like, the thing about me being this little robot that you're pointing a gun at? Yeah, it turns out I'm everything. I'm all the robots. It's all me. It's just one consciousness. So you can shoot me all you want, but I'm still here. So the daughter wants Mother to let her raise the brother on her own. And the mother's like, well, okay. Shoot me. If you want to do it on your own, here you go. Shoot me. So the daughter shoots her, thereby deactivating the mother, at least the mother robot.
Inside the facility.
Yeah, just that one piece of the big mother over Skynet mind or whatever.
Yes.
And so the daughter, by the way, is has gone through all this trauma, but has also been trained, you know, to be mother, right? To be a mother. So, you know, this movie, I Am Mother, it's like, it's got the I Am Legend twist where, yeah, it turns out daughter is now mother.
Yeah. It was her all along.
Yeah. And so that it has kind of like a horror movie kind of, and plus daughter reminds me a little bit of actress Danielle Harris, who's played in a lot of horror movies, including, I think she was like Michael Myers' sister or something. I think it turns out she was the bad guy in at least a couple of the Halloween movies. And then she's played in some more recent, I think she was in the Rob Zombie Halloween movies and a bunch of horror movies. But her one, she's a good actress, but like her one sort of identifying feature is she can has this one very expressive eyebrow.
Yeah.
You know, so it's kind of like if you see Katie Holmes, she's got that smirk all the time. She's got like her face lighting off one side. Danielle Harris always has like the cocked eyebrow. And so when I saw like, because a lot of daughter's acting, the Clara Rugard acting, has to be by the fact that she's the only human on set, is just like small acting with her face. And so there's a lot of eyebrow acting in there, but it's, she pulls it off. I mean, her character, you know, when she's scared, you know, she's scared. When she's angry, you know, she's angry. I mean, and but it's all very like small acting, which I think, we all appreciate.
I also think the freedom of being the only human being is that she has never had the interaction with other people to mask any of her emotions.
Yeah.
Because she's never had a need to.
Well, except that she's had to mask some emotions from Mother recently.
But she's not very good at it.
Well, that's true. Yeah. And also, again, she was the final girl in all the horror movies at the end of this. She's like, yeah, I got my brother and I got my axe and I basically defeated the situation. But it's funny because the situation, she hasn't defeated Mother. Although now she has her own agency within the bunker, I guess. presumably, we don't really know where this movie is headed there. But we find out that, you know, woman who is presumably daughter number one, right?
Yeah.
I assume that that daughter number one is woman. Daughter number two got aborted. Daughter number three is daughter.
That's what I assume, too. Yeah.
But daughter number one, or woman, Hilary Swank, since theoretically all of this has been orchestrated by mother, like every bit of this has been orchestrated by mother from the beginning. This was the exam. The exam was the exam. This was the exam. And woman has outlived her usefulness. So one of the mother robots shows up at the Connex and says, "Thank you for your service," and terminates her contract. And yeah, and then we have daughter singing a lullaby to her brother. And then she walks into the embryo room and is now mother to them all. Which is, again, I didn't know where the movie was headed. And at the end of it, I'm like, is this a satisfying ending? But the more I thought about it, the more I liked it. What say you, Brother Jay, with three pages of notes after seeing the movie?
Again, I like this movie, and it gave me a lot to think about. There are some... I don't want to call them problems with the movie, but the questions that I have are likely... that, first of all, they're going to be unanswerable, so sure. They're going to be totally frustrating for anybody who's listening. It's just going to be conjecture and crazy. But also, the debate is, was it that way on purpose because the robots had figured that that was how to manipulate the situation, or is this just really how it was? How much? That's the whole entire universe, though.
Yeah.
How much of this was absolutely planned by some artificial intelligence that had already gamed this through, or was just some certain things that kind of sort of happened?
Okay, so do you mean that? The role of daughter number one, aka a woman, and daughter number two, aka aborted one, was all like daughter number three was already designed to be the successful mother, or
yes,
okay, or which I think is possible.
That's only one permutation. I mean, that's only one possibility.
Well, that's what I mean. That is a completely satisfying explanation. But
you also have to think about that, you know, because woman talks about other people and she has pictures of other people.
So are there other people?
Are there other people? Yeah. And were there other people made? And was that to induce the woman to be the kind of rebel and be the plant to draw out the whole experience to make this come to fruition and cycle?
Yeah. So mother has told us from the very beginning that she has to learn how to be a good mother.
Yes.
And so you could also accept that maybe daughter number one was an unsuccessful daughter, and then daughter number two is also unsuccessful. So daughter number three, by this time, okay, now we can figure out how to use our resources that we have, which is daughter number one, who's out there in the wilderness, presumably, and then daughter number three, who is whatever. So yeah, so is there an entire movie in what happened to woman? Outside of the, like, did she escape? Or again, is like, the day knock the ship over, you know, a day before woman and daughter escape and fill it full of props to look like woman's lived there the whole time. Like, is woman a human? I guess the woman is a human because we saw blood and guts and viscera.
Is she human from the human before extinction?
Yeah. 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 Well, that's the thing, because daughter assumes she is. But yeah, she is conceivably, if you pardon that whole pun, young enough to have been daughter number one for sure.
Yeah. So there's, like I said, there's lots of stuff like that. So, so do we want to go into notes now?
Yeah. Yeah.
So early on in the movie, and I couldn't late looking back, I couldn't tell when the little girls were little girls. I don't know that all of the little girls we saw were daughter.
Exactly. You don't know.
So it's really, it's really difficult to know in the past which ones were really the past. But anyway, you know, there's a lot, this really good writing in this movie too. I mean, there's a line is, I don't want to be human. Humans ruined everything.
Yeah.
Like, oh, that's some commentary right there.
Well, and we have the whole, you know, one of her big tests at the end was the question. It's kind of, what is it? The train car, is that what it's called? Question, the trolley.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Where, yeah. You know, do you kill one person to save five people, even though killing one person is murder? But if you don't kill that one person, then surely the five people will die. So are you murdering five people, but you're not actually taking positive steps to murder anybody in the second choice? So it's, again, it's
the Kobayashi Maru.
Yeah.
We already discussed the rat in the jar was actually her, too.
Yeah, I hadn't actually considered it till you said it, but it makes complete sense.
As soon as I saw it, I'm like, oh, that's... I just instantly, my little brain went there. I thought, this is a poor design of a bunker if the power going out drops the robot. Like, there's no backups, there's no battery backups, there's no secondary systems. Like, this is a really strange kind of flaw in a huge complex that's supposed to take care of embryos that need to be kept at a certain temperature and a facility that's run by a robot that's only going to be responsible for raising the potential future of any life on the planet. Is it,
well, not just, only that, but what if the power had gone out when a daughter was a mere infant?
There's exactly. I mean, there's so I was like, and then I wrote, she's never going to get a name ever. Yeah. She's never going to have a name. This is like the road. Never going to get a name. That was page one. Page two.
I think Jim Croce has a song about that.
And then I said, how does daughter know how to use the airlock?
True. I mean, in her studies, there was airlock lessons.
Okay. Also, in a facility such as that, how would she, if there was truly hazards outside, how would she ever have access to open the airlock?
That's the other thing.
So again, was it that the robot said mother expected that she would get out and be curious? Anyway.
If you're buying that, if you zip to the end and buy that mom has orchestrated this whole thing, mom orchestrated everything. Mom let her unlock the airlock.
And then finally, when we get to the denouement of the movie, I wrote, wouldn't you want some robot help if you were going to restart the human race? Wouldn't you want some help raising little kids? Wouldn't you want, I mean, I understand, but at the point that you've made peace that everything was from the robots to begin with, wouldn't you want some of that assistance? You're the only one person.
Oh, no. Yeah. There's no, this is the beginning of a conversation between daughter and mother and their new roles. This is not the end of a conversation with mother.
And then here's something to contemplate. Was there just one facility?
That's another question. Excellent. Yeah. Seems like there wouldn't be, right?
You wouldn't have put redundancy. You wouldn't put all your eggs in one basket. Sorry for the, that's
no,
bad.
But, yeah. No. And it never tells you it's the only facility. It just says this is the bunker.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. It's and it's not numbered or it's nondescript. So you no idea, right?
Yeah.
So the robots were gathering resources and food supplies. Who ostensibly was it for? Was it for the shelter?
True.
No. Right.
But you know, you can grow crops to get good at growing crops just to actually make air more breathable, right? You grow crops for oxygen as well as food.
Yes.
Yeah. Like you can build you can plant a forest, but you might as well learn how to grow crops because you need those too.
I'm trying to decipher my handwriting, which is not always the easiest because I was frantically trying to get things out of my head before I forgot them.
Yeah.
Because I'm at an age now where things disappear.
Yeah. Also, if you watch this movie like I did at night, like where I was going to go to bed afterward, I was like, oh, great. Now I got 20 minutes. I have to think about this movie before I go to sleep.
So here's the punter thing. Wouldn't a robot have been super fastidious? Robots are programmed. They have a strict programming and they're pretty binary. It's A or B. If you had something a daughter and you killed it, you wouldn't leave parts around. You wouldn't leave something in an incinerator. You would make sure that was gone.
That's part of the test.
I know, but that's what I'm saying. So there's all these little breadcrumbs, right?
Also, maybe the whole purpose of raising daughter two was just to have bones in the incinerator.
Possibly.
Yeah. Yeah. Also, I missed the opportunity to point out that woman was telling mother that she was going to take her daughter out tonight and show her power. Mother!
Funny.
Yeah.
So, and then here's one of these existential questions. What good did killing mother do, really do, if everything's all controlled by the same intelligence anyway? Killing mother had
she didn't
no effect.
Kill mother. Yeah.
But that's the thing.
It's all symbolic.
So why?
It's all symbolic. It's passing the torch. It's giving her agency. However, you've just given agency to this emotionally damaged woman who just entered your facility with an axe. So, yeah.
Traumatized. I wouldn't say damaged. I would say traumatized.
Well,
because she's had
trauma
the training.
Often leaves to damage.
Well, but yeah. She has the training and foundation that this will be something she will cope with, and that's why all the psychological exams. Because most of what she was tested on was not knowledge; it was psychology. I sometimes feel upset.
Yeah. Well, like all mothers, though, she takes her past experiences and inflicts those. The things she has learned, imparts what she has learned upon her children, consciously or unconsciously. If she distrusts grubby looking women who lie to her that live in connexes out of the beach, her kids may have an aversion to going a holiday at the beach, you know, just because of that. Mom warned us about, you know, also stranger danger and, you know, living rough. Anyway, fully formed thought, but oh well.
That was the extent of my four pages of notes condensed. Basically, this was like Terminator meets Skynet meets the Borg meets the Road without all the assimilation and implants.
But you were right about it's kind of darker than Terminator, because Terminator is just like it's just like a hero versus villain story where the heroes are the humans and the villains are the robots and the humans are underdogs and blah blah blah. This movie,
well, it doesn't I think have, we also, there's we, not, we also you also skipped something.
What's that?
The end. Where mother or a robot goes back and kills woman.
Oh no, that's what I'm saying, yeah. Yeah, no, that's just another part of mother cleaning up loose ends.
Why?
Because if woman is actually, if she is actually a human, which I think you should probably believe.
Yes.
And she has been set up basically by circumstances. She has been, funneled with a series of Drew traps to going on a mission. At the end of that mission, her usefulness is done, and she's kind of a rogue element. You can't have her. What do we call it? She's the free radical that can destroy your organism. So you kill the free radical, so that there's no, you know. I don't know if that's again. I'm not a doctor. Why are you asking me all these medical questions? So I Am Mother. How would you grade it? Give your judgment.
This is an A movie.
Yeah, I think so too.
Just because, first of all, it looked good. It was a great looking movie.
They spent their money well.
They did. Well, they only had 2.5 actors.
Well, yeah, but I mean, you know, so the set, the mother set, or the bunker set itself is probably pretty standard Hollywood fare, although it looked really good.
It did. But
the outside actually looked really good too, The CG and stuff wasn't bad, but they also didn't use a ton of it. There wasn't a lot of outside time because it all worked when it was pretty much like a stage play sort of thing.
Yeah, well, and it didn't need to be a big atmosphere. I mean, it would not have helped the story to have something expansive. But no, I mean, it looked great, which is always a treat. It sounded good. The music was, I mean, it had some eerie tones, so that was good too. It really had some tension. And again, it kept me interested and unable to guess what was happening, which is always a treat.
Oh, me, yeah.
Because I hate investing my time in a movie and knowing, 10 minutes into it, like, oh, I already...
Yeah, this is the kind of sci-fi movie I like. This is what if I want to watch a sci-fi movie, this is the kind of movie I want to watch. Now, that said, I need to take like a 5-minute break. So, two COVID shots didn't make much of an impact. Maybe a little tired after the second one for a couple days. It's been a week since the second COVID shot. And yesterday, a fucking salad took me out. I had to call in sick today because at noon, I had a salad from a local, very reputable restaurant that makes their own homemade dressing. And I don't know if it's because I'm not a huge salad eater, or the dressing was bad, or maybe the romaine was bad or something.
But so basically, you're now a salad shooter.
Oh my God. At 6:30, I worked till 7. At 6:30, my recruit and I are walking around the room doing a little tour of the fire system. And I'm like, oh, I need to go to the bathroom now. And then I texted her from the restroom saying, hey, go home. I'm going to be here a minute or two. So by the time I'm all done, you're gone anyway, so don't worry about it. And like just now, it was dangerous. It's like when I said, oh, I got to go. Yeah, I got to go. So I'm not feeling guilty about calling in because, oh, yeah, I'm still a solid shooter.
That's the worst. I am. So... Are we done with the movie?
Yes. Okay.
Yeah, sorry. I just want to make sure.
Yeah.
Whee! So I had an interesting conversation. So I had to check in with my doctor because I got my COVID vaccine was provided through my employer.
Yeah.
I didn't want my primary care physician to hold a vaccine for me.
Yes.
When they got them. So I used the online system and I just sent an email and said, I've got the vaccine. I've got my card. I've got the lot numbers. I've got all the information. How do you want this so that you can notate it that you skip me? Cause I'm good. And so she said, well, why don't we talk about it? I want to talk to you. We definitely want you to send us a copy of the card, but I want to talk to you too. Cause it's one of these, we want to be in touch.
Sure.
It's important right now, especially. And so we were talking about a few things and we were talking about, I had a reaction to both vaccines and then she started asking me some other questions. Interesting. She thinks I had COVID sometime last year.
Yeah, maybe.
Cause I did get sick last year.
Yeah.
She said, cause you reacted on the first vaccine significantly.
Yeah. And which is a sign.
Very significantly on the second one.
Yeah.
Like big time. So she goes, my guess is that you may have been exposed and you may have had a mild case and not known it. A lot of people, that's what happens, right?
Yeah.
They get a mild case of it. They don't know how they spread it to a billion, million, whatever. But, and then she started asking about other things. So the extreme fatigue that I've had and the brain fog that I've had, and I tell mom this, I'm like, just keep this in mind, as you look over the next year or so, because I just assumed it was all related to the stress of Derek's passing and the house and all of this stuff. And my doctor says, I don't think so. She said, I think the fatigue you're having and the brain fog you're having is because you're suffering the after effects. She goes, this is what we're seeing in other clients.
Huh. Wow.
So I'm like, oh, well, that's good and bad, I guess. So I'm like, yeah. Oh. So, and nobody knows long term.
Sure.
So, and because I've had the vaccine now, she didn't know if there's a way to even find out at this point if I've had it or not. Because well, now that I've been
now
vaccinated.
You have antibodies, yeah.
Yeah. So,
that makes sense.
So she said, I don't think she was going to look into it, but it's fine.
Yeah.
That was some interesting things. So I just told mom, I'm like, you know, it's possible. I mean, and it is possible that we all got exposed to it. You know, mom and dad and me, we were all congregating in very close space, you know, at the end of January, February, which is when actually this was all starting to happen.
You guys?
Yeah, in 2020. So it's possible. We had people traveling from all over.
Yeah.
I don't know. It was just one of those, like, it never occurred to me kind of things, but
sure.
Like looking back, kind of like this movie, looking back, like, oh, it all makes complete sense.
So, yeah. And again, how would you know if you had a mild case? You
never know. I mean, unless I get some like pitted lung disease or something, I'm not going to find out. So,
I said, I assume what I have now is just simply a bad reaction to food. I don't even say if it's food poisoning or, like I said, maybe. Although it was something because it took like 6 hours to come on and it has blasted for the last 12 hours.
You could have a food sensitivity brought on by the vaccine.
Yeah, maybe
not the vaccine. The contents of the vaccine
and or my lowered immune response because I'm still working because it's 2 weeks or something after your vaccine. It's about
12 to 14 days, I think.
Yeah. So, and I'm only 7 days out. So that makes, that's it, all these things are possible, but it's like, oh yeah.
Well, I was talking to a friend who was like, oh, I don't know if I would get the vaccine. Your symptoms sound horrible. I'm like, they weren't horrible. They were certainly not as horrible as being hospitalized and going on a ventilator. So like what I experienced, like I would absolutely do it all over again. Like, no question. Like of all the things that I've had in my life, like, being tired for a couple days.
Yeah. Well, my doctor actually had COVID and she described that as real, real bad. I mean, she didn't have, obviously she didn't go to the hospital for it, but she as a doctor, she was in the middle of Zoom meeting online with other health professionals. And she started to like feel a little bit like queasy. And then she basically ended up crawling up the stairs and falling asleep for like 3 days. Yeah. And finally, her people in her office are like, yeah, you probably have COVID. She's like, no, it's just probably the flu. And they're like, dude, you need to get tested. So she had COVID. So when she got her first shot, she said, oh, she had an awful reaction to it. Although, again, it was much better than having COVID. And she knows she's had both. And then the second shot was nothing. She's like, yeah, the second shot was no big deal. For her, but
yeah, so it's going to be an interesting experience as more vaccines start to roll out, and the numbers are, I mean, the Johnson & Johnson vaccine, holy crap,
yeah,
no mortalities,
yeah, and one dose, right?
One dose,
yeah,
no mortalities,
have super refrigerated, yeah.
I mean, that's amazing. I mean, hopefully, you know, we can stop this before it mutates again. So,
well, again, I listened to your so as we're recording this, last night between going to the bathroom, because I still intended to go to work this morning, but at about 10 o'clock at night, I'm like, oh, I can't just lay in bed and listen to my tummy grumble and stuff. It's like, so I'm going to get up and drink some tea and like, you know, so I'm going to get up. I'm going to stand up for my rights. And I'm going to edit the podcast from you and Drew last week with Wolfwalkers, right? Because I was on a decent editing clip. I apologize again. Although I had no fault in any of it. But yeah, Jupiter Ascending sounded like a horrible, horrible experience.
Oh, it was
to watch the movie. Yeah,
it was not good.
And actually, Wolfwalker sounded like a good experience, but it was interesting to hear your stories and yeah. I mean, I think maybe October, November will be a great time, unless it's not.
Hope so.
I mean, it seems like it seems prudent. Everything about it seems prudent, but we don't know yet. And like I said, I am feeling just on my ass, literally, because of the stupid salad shooting experience. And yet, like I said, my second COVID shot, I was pre-planned. I had my as you guys talked about, I had pre-planned my slovenliness, my sloth, I guess. But you know, all for, although I did sleep a lot. I mean, I got,
hey, you know, the victory is you didn't like soil your car or something.
True.
Like on the drive home. I mean, there are always worse things.
Oh, well, though. Yeah. No, like yesterday, you mean?
Yeah. At any point in time.
Yeah. No, you're right. Yes. I mean, yes. Just now I didn't soil my car.
It's always a victory. I told mom, it's been my emotional threshold for things setting me off in the last year. It's been very, very low.
Like, yeah.
It takes very little, either to make me angry or just to make me like just weep uncontrollably. And I told mom this story because I made this huge scene in Fred Meyer last week, the local one, and I think people, pretty sure people thought I was crazy, which is fine, but I told mom I had this muscle memory moment because Easter candy's out,
mm-hmm.
and so I went Easter candy, went because you know I'm a big round guy, so I'm like Easter candy, and I went down the aisle, and I'm like the little sweet tarts that are like bunnies and chickies.
Mm-hmm.
And I got like, oh, three bags of these because Derek loves them. And I put them in my cart. And then I realized when I'd put them in the cart, I was like, there's nobody that's going to like them as much as Derek did. And I need to put them back. And I just autopilot, like, right, like just total muscle memory. And then I like just like convulsive, like, full on, like just crying, like right there.
Oh
right?
No!
And like had probably a breakdown, probably.
Okay.
And of course, there's other people around, and there's like a Fred Meyer clerk, and they all like scattered.
I was gonna say, like, there's only two responses to that
because I put candy. You know, I like picked up the candy. I was excited, and then like put it on the
burst it in tears.
I'm sure I looked like a damn lunatic. I can laugh about it now. Those people just wide berth. And of course, luckily, in these times, like I had a mask on and a hat on.
Yeah.
I'm unrecognizable. So I don't know.
Okay. I just have to
wear a different mask.
Yeah. We're all wearing masks. Here's a litmus test for you. Now, did you continue your shopping adventure and check out? Or did you leave your cart where it was and go to a different store?
I wasn't going to let it win. I have, My level of being embarrassed anymore, I'm like, I'm too old. It just didn't faze me. Like, first of all, I've seen so much happen in the last couple of years. Like, nope, I just went on. I'm like, yeah, okay, well, that's done. What's next? But, I mean, I've seen things like that before, and so now I identify. But, like I said, like, I must have just looked absolutely like I was... just like off my meds.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. Yeah. It's
so it's been, you know, that kind of experience, but you know, I can laugh about it now. But Jesse and I've been talking about, because we survived snowpocalypse.
Yes.
And knock on wood, you know, we didn't lose power here, but for a couple minutes. And my UPS has done this very well. So, For the like 10 minutes we used it, but my boss didn't have power for 2 weeks.
That's a different level of an emergency.
Well, and I feel bad for her. So her house she lives in a pretty rural area. They have farmland, I think, because they have horses and stuff. But she was talking about how their house is built, and she had a problem because they bought a couple years ago one of those brand new expensive high efficiency washers, but it's a top loader,
mm-hmm.
and it had started a washing cycle when the power went out, but it's an electronic panel. So unless you have power, you can't change it out of the cycle to unlock the lid.
Oh, so may have frozen clothes in there for 2 weeks.
Frozen, hopefully not mildewy, nasty clothes. Cause where were they in the wash cycle?
Well, right? There you go. Yeah.
So, damn. I mean, there's that. And then I guess she and her husband realized maybe 4 or 5 days into it, like, oh, the sump pump in the basement is not plugged into anything because there's no power. And
it's not good.
So they, and so because I don't know how their house was designed, who it was designed by really, but their hot water heater and their furnace is in their basement. in this crawl space.
Doesn't seem like a good thing. Wouldn't be up to code in Alaska.
When they shine the light down there, she goes, there was like 3.5 feet of water there. Oh, so she goes, we're going to need a new furnace and a new hot water heater. And because of how it's situated, I guess it's barely big enough to get somebody up and down in the little, I don't know what kind of cubby hole it is. And so she's had problems in the past where they sent technicians out that are too big to get down there, or because you can't have a ladder, they aren't strong enough to pull themselves up when they're done. So she's, I don't even know how we're going to get the stuff out of there or new stuff in there. So we're probably going to just rip out one of the bedrooms and make it a utility room because we're done.
Yeah.
But they finally got power back and I think things are mostly recovered. We're really lucky here. Knock on wood. I'm like, we're really grateful and lucky and we didn't get any storm damage. So, you know, I'm glad, I'm grateful.
Yeah. That's awesome. So take a listen if you got a second to bear. If you like, subscribe, you can even share. Films on films, discuss on air. It's a brother podcast, we're gonna leave it right here. Take a listen if you got a second to bear. If you like, subscribe, you can even share. Films on films, discuss on air. It's a brother podcast, we're gonna leave it right here. One podcast talk show. Hit the app if you wanna catch an episode. They talk movies, they go off on a tangent flow and maybe rambling. That's the Brothers Anderson. So sit back with closed eyes, let them take you away unless you're driving. Keep them open in that case. We got Aaron, Drew, and Brother Jay. Welcome you to Not in a Creepy Way. Hey. Not in a creepy way. 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 Okay. Not in a creepy way. Not in a creepy way.